It's the Do It Yourself Author Show. Welcome to the Do It Yourself Author Show. My guest today is Carol White, who with her husband Phil journeyed around the United States for a full year and then wrote an informative book about the subject. We're going to learn what it's like to travel for the cost of staying home in their book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. Carol is a graduate of Portland State University with a double major in business administration, marketing, and psychology. She spent 35 years in the telecommunications and computing fields, working at Lucent and AT&T, before retiring and taking the road trip of her dreams. Currently, she lives in Oregon, where she and her husband, Phil, enjoy golf, community activities, and their 8 grandchildren. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thanks for having me, Jan. I'm glad to be here.
The information on the back of your book says, where would your journey take you if you had a whole year just to travel? Now, that's a fascinating opening. What led you and Phil to decide to just pack it all up and go all over the U.S. for a year?
Well, we had that particular dream ourselves, a whole year just to travel. But being traditional children of the 60s, we went to college, raised our families, held long-term jobs, and we never really had the opportunity to just get away.
Mm-hmm.
So when we left the daily work world, we decided we would, we're getting just as entrenched in our new lifestyle. So we decided now, before we're too old or lose our health or something, we decided we're just going to take off and do something totally for ourselves. And one of our dreams was to really thoroughly explore the United States. It's such a vast country and so many wonderful things to see.
Yeah, it's not like some areas that I've talked about. I talked to people about where, you know, you travel for 2 days and in theory you're at the other ocean.
Yes,
I mean, you can
exactly.
Just keep going and going.
Exactly.
Well, now you talk about unraveling both your commitments to your family, to work and organizations. How do you go about planning the logistics of being gone a full year?
Well, it does take some planning, at least for us. I suppose some people would just take off and go. But on our website, there's a 10 tips for planning a road trip dream, and that's really a great place to start. A couple of the key points are, I say pick a date now and start working towards it. Once you've decided that you're going to do this and pick that date, all your efforts begin to suddenly start flowing in that direction. So then you need to kind of identify what are your obstacles. Every family has different things that they have to consider before they can take off and travel for a year. But there's ways of handling all of that. And in the book, I talk about various scenarios for that. And probably the most important piece of information is don't overplan it, because if you do, you'll feel like you're on a forced march to someplace. That takes away the whole idea of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So the serendipity that happens along the way is really 9/10 of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those fun things.
Rather than
don't overplan it.
Yeah, rather than saying today at 2:00 we're going to be here, and by
exactly.
3:30 we're going to be there. And because that's what you used to do in your work life. You had everybody else dictating, or you were dictating precisely what you're going to be doing at every given moment. And that, as you said, it takes the fun out of it.
It absolutely does. So that's probably our biggest piece of advice. Don't overplan it.
Since you mentioned the website, why don't we go ahead and have you give that out in case folks want to look at that while they're listening.
Oh, okay. It is www.roadtripdream.com. Pretty simple.
Very simple. Now, what'd you do with your home in Oregon while you were traveling?
Well, Chapter 2 devotes a lot of pages to making this decision, because it's really one of the largest hurdles that you've got to going on your dream trip. We leased our home furnished, which
mm-hmm.
was really a big leap of faith. But if you do the right marketing job and target the right potential renters for your particular situation, it isn't nearly as scary. We also include in the book all kinds of marketing information about how to go about doing this. And we realize that what to do with your home is one of those big decisions. So, you know, you could sell your home, you could lease it like we did, you could leave it vacant. You know, there's lots of options. So it just depends on your own individual situation, which is best for you.
One of the possibilities was having, someone who would act as your liaison, your rental manager sort of person while you were gone, to keep an eye on things, make sure everything was going well.
Yeah, you definitely could have a rental manager. What we did kind of in that regard is I had a housekeeper all the years I was working, and she was still taking care of my house for me. when I was here. So she kind of became my inside eyes and ears to make sure that everything was being taken care of. And we just wrapped that into the rental price. So.
Mm-hmm. That's what you said. You included the price of her housekeeping in the rental price so that you knew that the house would be, it would be kept up.
Right.
I think that that was very smart. It would not only keep the interior of the house tidy, but as you said, you do have somebody kind of let you know if things were not going quite the way they were. And a year later, you realize that the value of your house has fallen because of the renters.
Exactly. True.
That is a giant leap of faith. I have to be honest. You're listening to the Do-It-Yourself Author Show, and my guest today is Carol White, and we're chatting about her book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. How did you choose what sort of recreational vehicle to spend a year in? That had to be a pretty big decision.
It was, and what you need to really do first is to decide what kind of an adventure you want to take. In other words, are you going to stay in one place for a while and kind of explore out of that? Do you want to move along most every day so you're kind of up, you know, packing and unpacking every day? Are you wanting to kind of explore back roads and little nooks and crannies that maybe aren't as convenient in a big RV? So once you kind of have an idea of what you want to do on your trip, then you can begin to think about what kind of vehicle might suit that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable driving a big rig or towing a trailer? We had never, either one of us, driven anything bigger than a station wagon, so we didn't really want to venture into that, and we decided on a Class B van. There's a number of them on the marketplace. They're about the same length as a big SUV would be, and you can park them in a downtown parking space, which became very convenient. Because they're built on a car or a truck chassis, you can take them into your local Dodge or Chevy or Ford dealer, you know, to have them serviced. So there's a lot of different things that once you decide what you're going to do, then you can decide how you want to do it.
Yeah, because if you have one of the bigger rigs, then you do have the issue of where you get it serviced and how you park it, and there's not the, gee, I think I'll just leave it here overnight because it's, you know, 25 or 30 foot long or whatever.
Sure.
And that, as you said, getting off in the side roads, you know, sometimes those are the neatest ways to see the country is just saying, I'm going to take this country road and see where it goes. And I'm hoping in about 30 miles it attaches back where I was.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't dare do that with a large RV.
No, But these little guys, you know, whether it's a Class B or a smaller Class C type of van, you know, you can take them just about anywhere. For us, the kind of trip that we wanted, where we were just had lots and lots of things that we wanted to explore, that became a really critical piece of the whole package for us.
Well, now, what sort of amenities are included in that size vehicle?
Unbelievably, everything basically that you have in a large vehicle.
Oh, really?
We had a complete bathroom. We had a two-burner stove, a sink, a microwave oven. We had a refrigerator freezer. We had a big queen-size bed in the back with a TV and a VCR. We had closets.
You know,
we had storage. We had the two front seats swivel around, so when you're camped at night, those swivel around, and there was a little table that went between them, and it was cozy, but everything we needed was there.
That had to be a marvel of engineering to get all that in that size vehicle.
I'm sure it was. I mean, and they're just beautifully made. We were really impressed. When we started looking for a vehicle, we went to a bunch of RV shows, and we just kept seeing these big guys, and we just thought, we just can't do that, you know. And suddenly we came upon these little guys, and we just thought, that's it. That's just what we want.
That's amazing. I wouldn't have thought you could get all that in there. It would be, of course, rather Barbie-sized stuff, but still, you get it. If you have a restroom in there, that's neat.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of times, we say there's two constructions in the Midwest, winter and construction.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're traveling along, and you're oftentimes stuck in road construction, how nice it is to get up and be able to go back, go to the bathroom, get yourself a glass of cold water or a bottle of water out of the refrigerator, fix a little snack, you know.
Oh,
there are many
neat
times that was really a convenience.
Which you can't do with, like, the fifth wheels and some of those. You actually have to stop, park, get out, walk around.
Exactly, right.
That sort of thing. When you set your budget, how well did that work?
Well, We, of course, had never done anything like this, but I did rough out a budget just so I could kind of get a feel for how much I thought we would spend.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had no idea what to expect. So our ideas were just strictly guesses. The readers will have our experience of what we learned, and our actual budget is in the book,
mm-hmm.
along with ideas about, you know, maybe how to be more frugal if your situation warrants, you know, having to be a little bit frugal. But again, the biggest thing is to decide what kind of an adventure you want, because that has a big impact on how much money you need. I mean, we did all kinds of things. We went river rafting, we went sailing, we took an airplane to Nantucket. So a lot of the things that we did were certainly discretionary expenses that not everybody would have, you know, depending upon what they want their adventure to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was something I noticed. You said you could cut down on the number of nights that you actually stayed in a hotel versus
right.
staying in the van if you needed to cut
exactly.
down on your money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I noticed you did both. You didn't stay strictly in the van, or, you know, of course you didn't of course stay strictly in the hotels. You kind of varied so that there was some nights that you could spread out.
Yeah. And that was probably the biggest change from our budget. Was we had originally thought we would do about 3 nights a week in a camping situation and about 4 nights a week in a motel situation. But because of some things that happened along the way, we did end up with more motel expense than camping expense. That was kind of the biggest deviation from our budget.
You're listening to the Do-It-Yourself Author Show. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back in the second segment, we're going to continue talking to Carol White about her book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Do-It-Yourself Author Show. My guest today is author Carol White, and we're talking about her book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. We were talking earlier about setting a budget. Now, after you got it all set and you got out in the middle of the trip, did you have any unexpected expenses or perhaps emergencies that landed in your lap while you were doing this?
It's funny that you should ask, because I think every category of emergency that one could have, we had during the trip. We did have a car crash in Minneapolis. We were rear-ended by a fellow, and it didn't do enough harm to stop us, but we did have to get that repaired along the way. And about 2 weeks after that happened, I was walking across the lawn to take a picture, and there was a hole that you couldn't see, and I fell in it and broke my ankle in 2 places. So everyone thought we would be coming home when that happened, but
mm-hmm.
no, that just slowed us down for a little while. And then later in the trip, we had an emergency at home. My mom was not well, so we had to come home and take care of that. And she and the whole family said, "You guys are not stopping your trip for this. You know, we just took another little interlude and just kept going." So all of those things, you know, did cause changes in the budget, but
mm-hmm.
We were running well enough under what we originally had estimated that it didn't have a major impact on our overall cost of our trip.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you broke your ankle, did you find getting health care dealt with, given your insurance company and all that, was that a hassle, or did that work out fairly well?
It actually worked out quite well. Before we left on the trip, we called the insurance company and said, "Hey, here's what we're doing. You know, would you make a note in our records?" So when we called them, it really went quite smoothly. In fact, they kind of assigned us our own claim person so that we could keep, you know, finding out, okay, where should we go in this town, you know, who
mm-hmm.
should we go see, and that sort of thing. So we tried to cooperate with them, and they were great working with us, and it went very smoothly.
You wonder if, like, maybe they had like a map and they go, "Well, you know, Phil and Carol are here today," you know, kind of in somebody's office. They're moving the little pin.
Yeah. The funniest thing, though, would be they would say, "Okay, you're going to be in Columbus, Ohio. Call this particular orthopedic group." You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'd call up and I'd say, "Hi, you don't know me, but I broke my ankle in Wisconsin, and I've got a series of x-rays and doctor's orders here, and he would like me to come in and see one of your doctors to have an update." And there was just this long silence, you know. It's like they had no idea how to respond to this. But normally by the time we got there, everybody in the office kind of knew the story, and things went really well.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, you know, they're going, boy, our advertising must be really working if we're hitting, if we're pulling them in from Wisconsin. Oh, well, now, having had a life mate for a very long period of time, there are times when one has to get away from your best buddy and or your spouse. What is it like to live, to be that close to each other for like a year in small confines and on the same trip, not knowing that next week he or she is not going to go somewhere else for a while? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, that's definitely the question that we were asked the most along the way and continue to be asked, actually. Well, you know, obviously you have to enjoy your companion prior to leaving. So if you're kind of a close couple and you enjoy doing things together and planning together, then you're going to have a easier time of it. If you're a couple that does a lot of things separately right now, then you probably need to have a little discussion about how this is going to go, you know. But the real key is supporting each other every day along the way. You know, neither of you are going to have every day be a perfect day, and you've just got to kind of zig and zag with each other's moods. And when the going gets really tough, and it will, just spend some time apart, even if it's just a few hours. Maybe you go for a walk or send him to play golf or, you know, whatever it is, but just spend some time apart. We figured out when we flew home for the holidays that we'd only been apart 9 hours in those first 6 months.
Oh, oh my.
But for a lot of couples, that would be a bit too much togetherness.
Yeah, everybody would be updating their wills, I can tell you. You talk about the option of doing theme trips. Could you kind of explain that idea to our listeners?
When you're going to take a trip like this, you think, gee, I can do anything I want, any place I want for a whole year. Well, you can go any place you want, but you can't go every place you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of kind of developing a theme for your trip allows you to kind of focus on what you really want to accomplish during that year.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was we wanted to see all the national parks. Phil is a big football fan, so we visited a lot of football stadiums and saw games in the fall and some of those kinds of things. And we wanted to learn more about the history of our country. But really, the ideas are endless. I mean, you could antique your way from state to state. You could say, gee, I want to see all the PGA Tour golf courses, or I want to paint a scene in every state, or I want to trace the development of the railroads. I mean, whatever your particular area of interest, it just gives you a way, if you say, well, gee, this is kind of the theme of my trip,
mm-hmm.
it gives you a way to plan around that idea.
Well, you mentioned something about you were visiting the state capitals because they were such an interesting variety of architecture.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I hadn't even thought of doing that, but that would be kind of fun.
It's really interesting, not only from an architectural perspective, to see how it changes from the West Coast to the East Coast, partly because of the age of the buildings, but there's also such a wealth of history in a state capital. And just talking to the people who are at the information booths there or in any particular area, maybe there's some artwork you want to look at. So we found them to be fascinating in and of themselves, but also you'd pick up a lot of information about other things to see in the state when you're in there talking to people.
Today, my guest is author Carol White, and we're chatting about her book, Live Your Road Trip Dream, Travel for a Year for the Cost of Staying Home. Now, why did you decide to self-publish?
Why did we decide to self-publish? Well, we worked with a traditional publisher for about a year when we got back. We were lucky enough to have someone interested in publishing the book once we decided that was what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the time, I mean, we'd gone through the marketing hurdles, the financial, the executive, the distribution. I mean, we were down to the point of signing the contracts, and they decided to pull the project.
Mm.
So I started down the road with a couple of more publishers, and I could just see this same nightmare flashing in front of my face.
Mm.
So I decided I really want to get the information out there. This is such a great experience. I want people to have the opportunity to figure out how to do their road trip dream. So I decided to pony up some money and do it myself.
It is a very well planned, very well laid out book. It's a wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
I see a lot of these because
I'm
this
sure.
is what I do. And I really like the way it laid out. And you know, your anecdotes were right on for making it not only an informative book, but also a fun book to read as you do some of the, and you have your quintessential philosophies after your husband's philosophies, which I thought were very cute. And, you know, it was very well laid out, and I enjoyed it as I went through because I'm going, I don't know if I could, hubby and I wouldn't strangle each other after a couple of weeks, but it's an interesting idea. I'm sure that even if people don't do it for a year, they might try it for like a month or 2 months.
And the same ideas apply, many of them. In fact, one of my friends was reading it the other day, and she said, you know, I wish I had had this information before we went to Europe for a couple of months. There's
mm-hmm.
many of the things that you mention in here that I had never, you know, she had never thought about. So whether you're going to take a backpacking trip in Asia or a sailboat trip around the world, many of the same principles apply.
Well, now, do you have any book signings or appearances coming up in the future?
Well, we are later in the month going to be on another radio show on the World Talk Radio Network,
okay.
a program called Travel Hub on October 28th at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Well, that's great.
And AAA here in Oregon has agreed to have us in their local offices. We're doing a whole series of presentations for those.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about doing that. So all of our appearances are updated regularly on our website, which again is www.roadtripdream.com. We're working on a lot of different marketing ideas right now, which will hopefully take us in many places around the country. So we would look forward to seeing some of our listeners there.
Well, now from the trip point of view, would there have been something that you wouldn't do again? I mean, if you look at it in retrospect, say, you know, this worked real well, but I wouldn't have done that.
Well, we really were very happy with the way the trip turned out. We were lucky on the weather. We didn't have any horrible weather along the way. Yes, we had a few emergencies to deal with, but we really did not have anything that we would have said, gee, I wish we had done this differently.
Well, that's neat because that means you planned it well enough and it fell out well enough that you didn't have any regrets.
Absolutely.
Now, as for the self-publishing, have you had any problems with the distribution or anything like that, or has it been getting out there without any hassles and being well-received?
Every place that we have had an opportunity to talk to people about the book, it has been really well-received.
Oh, that's excellent.
The whole challenge of getting the distribution, it is a challenge. There's
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that. Baker & Taylor is our wholesaler for the book, which means that Barnes & Noble and Borders can order it from Baker & Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I have a gentleman right now who's working for me getting it into those big chains on a, you know, more proactive basis.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting ready to do a big distribution to magazines, newspapers, travel columnists,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing, to help get the word out about it. So those are challenges. And it is available, of course, on Amazon.com, too.
Okay. Well, this has been a very good interview. I've enjoyed learning about what it would be like to just take off for a year. And there are days, trust me, that I would just like to pack it up and go. And I'm sure everybody has that.
And that was really the whole reason we did this, because there were so many people that we talked to along the way that had road trip dreams, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't quite know how to get it together to go do it. So we hope that this will give them the way to do it.
Your information is very, very comprehensive. I mean, you've got a renter's move-out reminder list. You've got ideas for a flyer to lease your home. You know, the motorhome checklist, the kinds of things that you would need to take with you, the kinds of things you might not think of, like needing an extra prescription for your glasses. Just
right.
It's very well done. And I encourage folks, if they're even considering going to be gone only a couple, 3-4 weeks, it's well worth investing in and looking at. And who knows, maybe I'll be brave and try to do like 3 or 4 months with a husband out on the road and see what happens.
That would be great. And we love talking to people or hearing from people that are doing it. So go to the website and drop us an email with your questions or just to tell us a little bit about what you're doing. We'd love to hear from people.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the Do-It-Yourself Author Show today.
Thanks so much, Dana, for having me.
This has been the Do-It-Yourself Author Show. On-air technical support was provided by Mage Bell Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.